Our Lady's words, taken from the book The Mystical City of God, Transfiction, Book 2, Chapter 10. Our Lady speaks about charity, humility, and obedience.
My daughter, in three virtues mentioned by thee in the foregoing chapter, as especially practiced by my Son and Lord, I wish that thou be particularly zealous as his spouse and my beloved disciple. They are the virtues of charity, humility, and obedience, in which Jesus desired to signalize himself toward the end of his life. Within doubt, he manifested his love for men during his whole life, since he performed for them such admirable works from the very first instant of his conception in my womb. But towards the end of his life, when he established the evangelical law of the New Testament, the fire of ardent love that burned in his bosom burst out in more consuming flames. On this last occasion, the charity of the Savior for the children of Adam exerted its full force, since it was urged on by the sorrows of death that encompassed him, and was spurred on from the outside by the dislike of men for suffering, their self-chosen misfortunes, and their boundless ingratitude and perversity in seeking to destroy the honor and the life of him who was ready to sacrifice all for their eternal happiness. By this conflict, his love was inflamed to the point at which it could not be extinguished, and thus, being now about to leave the earth, he was driven to exercise all his ingenuity in attempting to prolong his benefactions and his intercourse with men, leaving among them, by his teachings, works, and examples, the sure means of participating in the effects of his divine charity. In this art of loving thy neighbor for God's sake, I wish that thou be very expert and zealous. This thou wilt be, if the very injuries and sufferings with which they affect thee shall waken in thee a greater love. Thou must remember, then alone wilt thou be secure and unwavering, when neither benefits nor flatteries of men have any effect on thee. For to love those who do thee good is a duty, but if thou art heedless, thou canst not know whether in that case thou lovest them for God's sake, or for the sake of the benefits they confer, which would be loving thy own advantage, or thyself rather than thy neighbor for God's sake. He who loves for other than God's sake, or for vain complacence merely, has not yet learned true charity, since he has yet taken up with the blind love of his own ease. But if thou love those who do not satisfy any of these cravings, thou art led on to love them for the Lord's sake, as the principal motive and object of thy love, loving him in his creatures, whoever they be. Thou must exercise thyself in both the corporal and the spiritual works of mercy. But as thou hast fewer occasions to exercise those of the body than those of the spirit, thou must continually extend thy spiritual works of charity, multiplying, according to the will of thy Savior, thy prayers, petitions, pious practices, accompanying them with prudent and holy admonitions, and thus advancing the spiritual welfare of souls. Remember that my Lord and Son conferred no bodily blessings on anyone without accompanying them with spiritual, and it would have been derogatory to the divine perfection of his works to perform them without this plenitude of goodness. From this thou wilt understand how much we must prefer the benefits of soul to those of the body. Hence thou must always seek them in the first place, although earthly-minded men blindly prefer temporal blessings, forgetting the eternal ones and those tending toward the friendship and grace of the Most High. The virtues of humility and obedience were highly exalted by the conduct of my most holy Son in washing the feet of his apostles. If by thy interior enlightenment concerning this extraordinary example thou dost not humble thyself to the dust, thy heart is indeed hardened, and thou art very obtruse in the knowledge of the Lord. Let it then be understood henceforth that thou never canst consider or profess thyself sufficiently humbled, even when thou findest thyself despised and trodden underfoot by all men, sinners as they are. For they never can be as bad as Judas, or thou as good as thy Lord and Master. But to merit and to be honored by this virtue of humility will give thee such perfection and worthiness that thou wilt deserve in the name of a spouse of Christ and make thyself somewhat like unto him. Without this humility, no soul can be raised to excellence and communication with the Lord, for the exalted must first be humbled, and only the lowly ones and should be exalted. And souls are always raised up by the Lord in proportion as they have humiliated themselves. In order that thou mayest not lose this pearl of humility, just at the time when thou thinkest thyself secure of it, remember that the exercise of it is not to be preferred to obedience, nor must thou practice it merely at thy own will, but in subjection to thy superiors. For if thou prefer thy own judgment to that of thy superiors, even if thou do it under color of humility, thou art guilty of pride, for that would be not only refusing to seek the lowest place, but placing thyself above thy superior. Hence thou mayest understand the error of shrinking back, like St. Peter, from the favors and blessings of the Lord, depriving thee thereby not only of the gifts and treasures offered thee, but of the advantage of humility, which thou seekest and which is much preferable. Thou failest also in gratefully acknowledging the high ends and in striving after the exaltation of his holy name, which the Lord seeks in such works. It is not thy business to enter into the examination of his secret and exalted judgments, nor to correct them by thy reasonings and thy objections, on the account of which thou mayest think thyself unworthy of his favors, or incapable of performing the works enjoined. All this is a seed of Lucifer's pride, covered up by apparent humility, as he thus seeks to hinder the communications of the Lord, his gifts and his friendship, which thou desirest so much. Let it then be to thee an inviolable rule, that as soon as thy confessors and superiors approve of certain favors and blessings as coming from the Lord, thou accept them as such with due thanks and reverence. Do not allow thyself to be led into new doubts and vacillating fears, but correspond with the favors of the Lord in humble fear and tranquil obedience.